Now, in the next few minutes, I get the privilege of preaching, teaching God's Word. An old African-American preacher said it's a dance that the pastor does with the people of God, and they move together through the Word of God to meet God. I'm your dance partner this morning, all right? And I want to lead you into Scripture to delight in something called the big picture of the purposes of God. Now, to do that, I need you to think with me, to go with me. The last crowd did a good job, but I call on you a lot to help me. And I think you look a little more awake than they did. So I'm excited about this. And I want to start off by getting you to think about what is the most important part of a jigsaw puzzle. Do you know? All right. I've heard both pieces both things that are very common. One lady over here did like this, and somebody said border. And then another lady over here said the last piece. Now, why do you do that? Because if you're a good puzzle putter together, you know if you can get the size, you can work your way in. But since I'm speaking, that's the wrong answer. And that's not it, all right? And then you said the last piece. Well, that could be true because you were either tired of it or you lost it. I don't know why you think that's the most important part, but I get to decide. Nope, that's not it either. The most important part of a jigsaw puzzle is the box top. It really is. Because you sit down and you start putting the blues together. You say, no, it's not the same blue. This is a different blue over here. And you start arranging it, getting ready to put it together. I pray in the next 30 minutes, I help you see the box top of the purposes of God. And I pray you find where your piece fits and you understand how to appreciate the other pieces around you and how they fit. So let's do that together by turning to Galatians chapter 3, verse 8. Some of you have already been in Bible study, and maybe you found all the answers in this verse. So I expect you to know it and be ready to go. Galatians 3, verse 8. We've got it on the screen in the English Standard Version. I memorized it in another one, so I'm going to try my best to use this one. I asked the pastor, what does he read from? So I wanted to be consistent. So this morning, I don't think you're sleepy, but I want to make sure we're together. So everybody go ahead and stand, would you? Just stand. We're standing in honor of God's Word. We're standing to know what authority we're coming under. And we're actually going to read this together. Now, I want you to have your own Bible. I don't know. I don't see too many people dialing up on the smartphones. It's allowed as long as your neighbor checks and makes sure you're not texting somebody. All right? But I want you to use your Bible, and it's good. And you're going to get to look down and read it. But right now, I want you to look up. And let's read it together from the screen to make sure everybody knows this is the verse we're submitting our lives to this morning. It says, and the Scripture. Would you read it with me? Here's the whole thing. You ready? And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed. Man, you did such a great job. I still want you to do it one more time, all right? Let's read it together. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed. Father, we open this Word with great reverence. We take it for what it is, the very Word of God. You've inspired it. You've protected it. A lot of people in the world have never seen a copy, but many of us have multiple copies. And this morning we open believing you use your Word by your Spirit to speak to us personally while you're speaking to us corporately. So we pray a simple prayer. Father, speak to my heart. Would you pray that prayer out loud with me? Father, speak to my heart. And Lord, when you speak, we'll know it's you. And we know you would never speak to us but for our good and for your glory. So we listen and we're ready to do whatever you say. In Jesus' name we pray. And God's people said, amen. Would you have a seat? Years ago, I was preaching through the book of Galatians. I had a little hideout on the third floor of the church where I was pastoring. We took a closet and converted it into a little study where I could go and be quiet for hours. And I had a table set up like a U. I could spin around and read from different concordances and different books because I didn't have access to a computer like we do today to just type in a word and find where it is in the Bible. And I was studying along and I came to this passage, Galatians 3, verse 8. Now put it back up here on the screen if you don't mind. And as I came to this passage, I said, huh, all the nations will be blessed? I wonder what that means. So I went over to a thing called a Greek interlinear. It's where people that don't really read Greek can look, all right? And what it is a line of the Greek and a line of the English underneath it. And if you are a true Bible student, I hope you found some tool like the Blue Letter Bible online where you can open up the tool and you can see it right there and follow right along. But when I came to this word nations, I went, I've been to seminary. I've been a pastor all these years. And for some reason, I missed the meaning of the word. The word nations in the Bible doesn't mean countries on a map. Doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean United States, Canada, Mexico. Doesn't mean that. I can teach you one Greek word today that will help you see the big picture, the box top of the purposes of God. That word nations is the word ethnos. And you don't have to be a Greek scholar to know what it means. You hear it already. It means the color of your skin, the language that you speak, the food that you eat. So whenever the Bible says nations, it's talking a word in missions is talking about peoples with an S. Now here's how you understand peoples. You go to a country and they have a trade language. It might be English, might be French, might be Arabic, but they also have a tribal language in their heart. And when their baby dies, the mother doesn't take the baby in her arms and cry out to some greater being in her trade language. She speaks with the language of the little girl when she first learned to talk. And she cries and she grieves in her language. Did you know that in the big picture of God, He's expecting one day a symphony of languages crying out to Him in praise one day in heaven? That's what it's going to be like. But now here on earth, our job is to understand what God is saying to His people like He did in this verse. That in you all nations will be blessed. So what in the world was He saying to Abraham? Okay, you got to visualize the timeline. I turned it around so I could see it like you see it. Over here's creation, all right? And then we come to Abraham and God just picked him out and said, okay, I want you to leave where you are and I got a place for you to go. And then He said to him, I'm going to make you a great nation. And essentially He said it like this. I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to bless those who bless you, and curse those who curse you, and through your seed, Paul later points out in Galatians 3 that it's singular, talking about Christ, but he couldn't understand that. All peoples will be blessed. Now, notice it says he preached the gospel. Way back here to Abraham, he preached the good news, the gospel. Abraham didn't have a clue what it was. He didn't have a clue how it was going to happen, all right? But he understood that God was saying to him, through your seed, all the nations, the ethnos, the peoples will be blessed. Now, he came to his son, and what was Abraham's son's name? Isaac. And what did he say to Isaac? Here's what I told you, Daddy. I'm telling it to you, Isaac. I'm going to bless you, and bless those who bless you, and curse those who curse you, and through your seed, all the nations will be blessed. Then he came to Jacob. He said, here's what I told you, Daddy. Here's what I told your granddaddy. If you ever wonder why God is called the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has nothing to do with them being the three best dudes in the Old Testament. It has everything to do with the three times repeating covenant that God was making, foreshadowing, looking ahead to Christ. Now, I went back up in that verse and I started reading it from the top. And the scripture foreseeing, there's some time going on here, that God would justify, how was He going to make them right? but he was going to do the Gentiles by faith. And I thought, what are Gentiles? And I had a very scholarly answer. Not Jews. I mean, that's basically it, right? There's the Jews and the not a Jews, all right? And I looked at it in the original, and you better be glad because most of you aren't Jewish by heritage, all right? So I looked at it in the original text, and you know what I found in that word Gentiles? It's the root word ethnos. Then I thought, well, why in the world didn't the translators translate them the same way? Because Paul's trying to make an illustration here, an application, that it wasn't just for the Jews, but it was for everyone. So then I started out on a search. I want to go everywhere in the Bible I can find this word nations and see what it says. So this morning, if you're taking notes, the first key word starts with the letter A. The second key word starts with the letter B. Now you're a smart crowd. The third word's going to start with the letter I told you to dance. Come on. You got it? Talk to me now. C. And the last word, we're not going to W. We may at the end just throw in a little D. All right? But let's don't get worried. I've got a clock. A is going to take most of the time. All right? But here's how we're going to do A. If I put my hand up here like this and you don't say the word, I'm going to keep preaching it. All right? He said to Abraham, in you shall all the nations be blessed. If you're going to see the box top, you're going to see the big picture, you're going to have to understand that God desires to be worshipped by all the peoples of the world. That's God's heart. God's always had a people, but He had a people so that through His people, all peoples would worship Him. That was always His intent. Now, did the Jews get it? No. Most of the time, they thought it was just about them, and they failed to see that the purposes of God were much bigger than just them. And before you get too hard on them, we're just as bad. Most of the time, we take the Bible, and we pick it up to read it, and we think it's a me book, all right? I'm going to read the Bible and see what it says about me. When we really ought to look at the big picture, the purposes of God, and see what it says about Him. And here's what we're going to find about Him. He wants to be worshipped rightly by all the peoples of the world. He said to Isaiah, it's just too small a thing that you would restore Israel. But you're going to be a light to the ethnos, to all the peoples. We don't quite see it because maybe we're looking for something else. For instance, why don't you help me complete a verse in the book of Psalms? It's Psalms 46:10. And you know, be still and know that I am God. But most people don't know that Psalm 46:10 has an A and a B. You only quoted half the verse. Now, the verse does mean if you'll be still, you'll know that He's God and you're not. He can handle it and you can't. All right? It's a good rescue verse. Keep it with you, okay? Just be still and know that He's God. Keep a quiet heart. Know what it means to trust Him in all things and know how to be still and know that He can handle it when you can't. But if you are still and you listen to what's on His heart, you just might hear the rest of the verse. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted in all the nations. I will be exalted in all the earth. A driving force in the heart of God is that we see He is worthy to be worshipped anywhere and everywhere. Amen? That's what He's worthy of. Because He's worthy to be worshipped by all peoples. Now then I turn to the New Testament. And I said, I wonder what Matthew 28 says. Do you know? Turn to Matthew 28. Just turn to Mark and back up a page, all right? And look right at the end of Matthew. And what do you find? You find what we call the Great Commission. And in Matthew 28, Jesus came to his disciples and he said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. He's acknowledging to them that he has all authority. And then he says, here's what you're supposed to do. As you are going, you're to make disciples of what church? All the peoples. It's the word ethnos. So I said, huh, well, what about over in Luke? One of my favorite passages on the Great Commission. Jesus has been raised from the dead. He's teaching the disciples how he's the central character in all the Bible. And he explains to them the big picture of the purposes of God, that the cross is right in the middle. When he says to them, this is everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms. It must be fulfilled. Even the law of Moses was pointing to Jesus. The prophets were pointing to Jesus. The Psalms were pointing to Jesus. And he said it was written about me. Then he said, well, first he opened their minds to understand the scripture. I just gotta work that for just a minute, all right? Do you know that every time you really understand the scripture, it's because God opened your mind to understand the scripture? And you realize there'll be people leaving these two services today. I promise somebody's gonna say, man, I wish the pastor preached this boring message. You know, that was so boring. And somebody's gonna say, wow, God used his word to speak right to my heart. What's the difference? God is not obligated to open his word to those who want to inspect it. God delights to open his word to those who are asking to do it. And if this morning you're saying, God, I want to see the picture. I want to see how I fit. He's opening your mind to understand the scripture. Then it says, he went on to explain to them, this is Luke chapter 24, verse 46. This is what is written, where church? In the Old Testament, because the New Testament hadn't been written yet, he's explaining to them, this is what was written in the Old Testament, that the Messiah would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sin would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations. That's the heartbeat of God. But lest you think that it started with Abraham and it ended at the cross, the purpose of the cross was so all of this would be moving toward heaven, which is the end of time. And if you turn in your Bibles to the Revelation chapter 5, you will find in Revelation chapter 5 a scene where John is there and they bring out the scrolls and there's no one worthy to take the scrolls and break the seals. And John starts crying. Best I can tell, those scrolls were the unfolding of the end of time as we know it. And no one was worthy to kind of wrap things up. John starts crying and they say, hey, don't cry. There's one worthy. And he looked to the throne and he saw the Lion of Judah. And then he heard what they said. You are worthy to take the scrolls and break the seals because you purchased for God with your blood those from all tribes and all tongues and all languages and all peoples. And listen, if you think heaven is going to be made up of people just like you, you're going to be really disappointed. Because most of them, they tell me, aren't even going to speak English, all right? But we're not going to need one of those interrupters to tell us what they're saying. Because we're going to all know what's being said. Jesus is worthy. And the symphony of praise that will rise to him will be what he deserves. Now, in the meantime, there are those who call us us and who call them them. We had an associate pastor from Scotland. He said, we love to tell jokes on Americans. I said, really? He said, yeah. I said, well, tell me one. He said, well, there was this Texan. He was riding along looking for a place to brag on Texas. He saw a little farmer out in his field, and he put on his 10-gallon hat and walked over to the fence and shouted, howdy, partner, what's that you doing? The Scotsman, not very impressed, just glanced up and said, I'm digging potatoes. And that's the best Scottish accent I've. Somebody laughed at me over here, all right? He said, I'm digging potatoes. And the Texan said, You call those itty-bitty little things potatoes. Back in Texas, our taters are this big. The Scotsman said, aye, but we grow them to fit our mouths. Now, what's up with the Scottish? They speak English, it's kind of like English, right? But everywhere you go, there's us and there's them. Is there a Texan in the house? All right, it's still us and them, right? I mean, they if they really know you're not from here, you know, I mean, I know how that goes. You like beef barbecue instead of pork. I get it, all right? But think about this. God deserves to be worshipped by every language, every ethnicity, by all peoples. So go back to Galatians 3. Let's let that sink in. Back then, God spoke to Abram because he had a plan for the Gentiles, not just the Jews. And he said to him, in you, all the peoples will be blessed. So if the letter A points to Jesus and all peoples worshiping him, what do you think the letter B in the big picture represents? It's the last word on the screen. Blessed. You are blessed to be a blessing. Can we put the personal pronoun in there? I am blessed to be a blessing. I really want you to remember this outline, so say it with me, all right? I am blessed to be a blessing. But God didn't give you your blessings just so you could sit around and act blessed. Everything you have, everything you've been taught, every life experience, good and bad, is a stewardship for you. It's yours to use for the glory of God. And some of you can't see that you're blessed because of so much that's gone wrong. But I'm here to tell you this morning, if you have an opportunity to hear the truth that Jesus died for your sins and he was raised from the dead and he loves you and he wants you in his family, you are blessed. There are people all over the world that's never even heard the name Jesus. And this morning, I want to challenge you to see that picture with Christ shining in the center as the centerpiece of the glory of God. And as surrounding him, you see that symphony of praise as God has a comprehensive plan to be worshipped by every tribe and tongue and nation and people. And you see that he's called you to be a piece of his picture. And he's blessed you to make you a blessing. Now, usually when somebody's talking about missions and talking about blessings, some old guy does this. And I know what he's thinking. He's thinking, you're trying to make me feel guilty for having stuff. Ain't nothing wrong with my stuff. I worked hard for my stuff. Don't scold me for having stuff. Look, I don't care about your stuff, all right? It's really okay that you have stuff. But I'm telling you, God didn't give you stuff so you could sit around and act stuffed, all right? He gave you your stuff so that you could be a blessing. That's always been what he did with his people. Look for it every time you read the Bible. See if you don't see somewhere it talking about Jesus and talking about God wanting to be worshipped by all peoples. And see when he's talking to his people, if he's not telling them, I've blessed you to make you a blessing. So if we're going to apply that this morning and see how that fits for us, we can read in the rest of Galatians chapter 3 and see how Paul's unfolding this lesson. But we would soon find that God wants Jesus to be at the center. And since Jesus has died and gone back to heaven, he's turned over the business to his church. It's not like God has a mission for his church. God has a church for his mission. And his mission is to gather worshipers to himself. Church is not about you coming to grade to see how you felt about the morning. Music's a B, sermon is a B minus. You know, it's not about you. It's about God and his purposes. And somehow in his grace, he's chosen to put you in his plan. and ask you to participate in His plan. Now think about what God wants for His church. I'm kind of curious. It would help me to know my audience. How many of you grew up in somewhere, maybe before you were in school, in grade, you know, you were in pre-K, you were in nursery school, you were in church before you started first grade? Can I see your hand? All right, come on, raise them up really high. Pastor, I want you to do it again. You need to know your congregation in case you don't know. Everybody keep them up now. You see, I don't know what percentage that is, but it's more than 50, all right? It's maybe up to 80 or plus, all right? So that means you guys went to church when you were little kids and you learned to rhyme. And it went like this. Here's the church and here's the steeple, and open the doors and see all the people. Come on, did you see that? Now, some of you never got your fingers right, and every time you opened the doors, nobody was there, okay? So I want to offer a little healing this morning, a little therapy for you. So everybody do this with me. Come on, young and old, let's go. This will help you, I promise. It'll help you remember C. You remember A is all peoples. You remember B is blessed to be a blessing. Now we're going to remember church. Let's say the rhyme together. Here's the church and here's the steeple. Open the doors and see all the people. What's wrong with that rhyme? It's terrible theology, and you all know it. All of you know it. If we were teaching our kids right, we would say, here's a building, and it may or may not have a steeple, all right? Not the point. If you open the doors, you see the church, the people. Right this minute, we're the church gathered. In just a few minutes, we're going to be the church scattered. And everywhere you go, you're the church. Why don't you say that with me? I am the church. Can you say it? I am the church. If you're going to see the big picture of the purposes of God, He has no plan B. His plan is you and it's me and the people we know and where they go. So here's the picture. The centerpiece is Jesus on the cross. Gathered around Him is a symphony of praise because God wants to be worshipped by all the peoples of the world. And while they are here on earth, He blesses them to make them a blessing. And His instrument today is to use His church. So here's the big question. D. Do whatever He wants you to do. I'm so glad the pastor said it earlier. To do nothing is always. If you do nothing with this message, you missed it, okay? It's not right. What should you do? So is every Christian called to be a missionary? Yes. Trick question. All right. I'm not going to argue with you if you say yes. I've read 2 Corinthians 5. It says God was in Christ reconciling to the world to Himself, and now He's given us this message of reconciliation. He's given us this ministry of reconciliation. God uses little wiggly fingers like me and you to stand between the world and Him and plead, be reconciled to God. Therefore, we are ambassadors, representatives of Christ. Yes, all Christians are called to be missionaries. But no, not all Christians will go live in those places where they've never heard. Not all can go. If everybody, this whole church, if you go on those mission trips he listed there today, it might be, let's say it's 20% of the church. What does the other 80% do? Well, they can give and they can pray. Okay, I agree. Here's the biggest one. Not everyone can go, but everyone can care. You can want the people who live in those places to know Jesus. You can, when God gets your heart right to care about it, who knows what He might use in your skill and gift to do it. This morning I communicated electronically. Don't you love the fact we can still talk to missionaries real time? I talked to a missionary on the other side of the world. She's a nurse. She's in a hospital in what we might call a closed country. I was her pastor years ago, and she's there. They're opening a new hospital wing, and I was able to hear some of her prayer requests and see what she wanted to be done. There was another missionary named Rhonda who has come down with a mosquito-borne disease, and she's in a place right now. She's waiting tomorrow to get blood work done so they can figure out exactly what's wrong with her. There's another guy named Chad. He's an airplane pilot, and his birthday is today. And he lives in the country of Bangladesh, in the open with Missionary Aviation on the side of his plane, registered with the company to be a pilot to serve them there, and they're opening a new airfield in the neighboring country called Myanmar, formerly called Burma. Places where missionaries are not openly serving, but Chad's there, and Rebecca's there, and Rachel's there. And if we're not there, oh, we sure can care. We can hear their stories. William Carey said, "I'll go down into that pit, but somebody's got to hold the rope." We can be the rope holder. A few months ago, I sat down with a guy going to a country. If I called his name, it'd take your breath away. It's the hardest country you can think of here in the whole world. And he said to me, "Pastor, 8 years ago, you put together a care team for me out of our church, and you called around a group of people, and we kind of deputized them and swore them in to be his rope holders while he went." And he said, "You'll be pleased to know that every single month, the last 8 years, we've set aside a time to talk, and they know what's going on in my life, and they pray for me, and they encourage me." Little wiggly fingers who may not go, but help those who go. So this morning, as we decide what you might do with this big picture, let me just give you a few challenges. Make it really practical. I'll just name two or three. All right? Here's one. Everybody ought to know a missionary by name, at least one. If you don't, turn around and go back there and look at the board, and you can pick one. All right? If you've got another country on your mind, you want to know a missionary, ask the pastor. He'll write me. If you remember my last name, Gilbert@POBox.com. All right, about as easy as you can get. All right? Send me an email. I'll help you find a missionary there that you can pray for. Everybody ought to know a missionary. Everybody ought to know a mission field. At least one. A place that's been set aside and designed that it might be a place where the gospel needs to go. And you learn about it and you pray for it. Everybody ought to be praying for an individual lost person by name. You ought to have one. You ought to have one living beside you in this picture where you live and you represent Christ. That's what you can do. Here's something else you can do to test your heart. There's a Walmart near my house. And when we walk into that Walmart, we Anglos are in a real minority. But it's just about every nation you can imagine and every language you can imagine right there in North Atlanta. And as we walk around, I'm reminded that God loves them just as much as He loves us. And you see that cute little girl running around? Did you mean it when you sang it in Sunday school, "Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight"? When my precious granddaughter was born, I'll never forget the day. I was traveling with the International Mission Board. I was on my way to go see her in the Middle East. And I stopped by. I was in an airport. I think it was in London. And they were talking about an earthquake that had happened in the country of India with the Gujarati people. And I'd been praying for the Gujarati people. They had no gospel presence in the north part of India. So I saw that picture and I heard them say Gujarat, and I walked over to listen to the television, and I'll never forget what the BBC announcer said. "There was a great earthquake here." She said it in a British accent. I'm not going to try that again. All right? "There was a great earthquake here. And you see all these stones laying around. That's what's left of their homes. A lot of people don't know where to find their family. For instance, see that little girl? She doesn't know where her mom or her dad is. She doesn't know what's left of anything but that stone that was her house. And she's just sitting there crying, wondering what to do." And I had to stop and say, "Lord Jesus, You love that little girl just as much as You love my little Edie." Hey, there are plenty of ways to test your heart. Every time you see somebody that you might call them and they're not us, stop and ask God, "Do I believe He deserves to be worshipped by all the peoples of the world? Is that what kind of God He is?"
I sure don't want to step into anything political, but recently we know of a country leader that was killed, and we were debating whether or not the government should have taken that guy out. Hey, I believe we ought to be safe as a country. I don't have any problem with the authority given to the nation, to the government, to punish those who do wrong and reward those who do right. That's Bible, okay? That's what governments do. But I saw someone respond on Facebook that said, "Man, I'm glad it happened. You just ought to kill them all." And I thought, no. Because Farzad is in the church where I live. He grew up in Iran. They ran him out. He went on a desperate search to find the truth about Jesus, and he found it. He's a follower of Jesus today. Mehran is one of our greeters at our back door. We don't need to just kill them all. We need to weep and pray that all the peoples of the world will know Jesus. Let the government do what the government does. But let the people of God do what the people of God do in their heart to long for worshipers. Oh, don't you love that song, "Is He Worthy"? Go listen to it again. Is He Worthy? And then it kicks into that scene in Revelation. Every people and tribe. That He is worthy to be worshipped by them. Okay, so what have I told you to do? You need to know a missionary. You need to know a mission field. You need to test your heart when you're even in public places. God loves them as much as He loves me. You need to know the name of a lost person that you're wanting to see come to know Jesus. Let me just give you one more. You need to learn how to say regularly the prayer of the Lordship of Christ in your life, which says something like this: "I'll go anywhere, anytime for your glory." That's what lordship means. He's the boss. You're not. Jesus didn't cargo on your ship that you can manipulate. He could be the captain of your life, telling you what to do and where to go. And lordship means we're praying, "Lord, I'll go anywhere, anytime for your glory." Now, when we were in seminary, I came home one day and my wife told me that a famous missionary named Bertha Smith had visited our apartment. Some of you are old enough to have heard the name Bertha Smith. She was a lifelong missionary in China, saw a great moving of the Spirit of God. They made her come home because she was old, made her retire, and it made her mad. All right, she went around everywhere, mad that she couldn't go back to the field, but she decided she'd tell everybody that they ought to repent and be missionaries, okay? So she came to our house, and my kids were playing outside, and she called up my wife. She said, "Get your kids over here, I want to pray for them." Miss Bertha's about this tall, a little bossy, all right? She said, "Get your kids over here, and I'll pray for them." She laid her hands on each one of our children and prayed they'd all be missionaries. She laid her hands on my wife's tummy and prayed for the fourth child she was carrying. And when she said amen, she looked my wife in the eye. She said, "If we would just take the Great Commission seriously, we'd pray that half of our children would go overseas and the other half would stay home and pay for it." I said, "Wow, that sounds like Miss Bertha." A few years later, my wife told me, she said, "You remember that day I told you Miss Bertha came?" She said, "I went inside and I wrote it down in my journal. Lord, I'll go anywhere, anytime for your glory. And if it's not me, it'd be a real honor if you'd send my children." One of the toughest prayers for you to pray and mean. She told me she was praying that prayer. I said, "You're praying what? I mean, the kids are supposed to wait on us when we get old, right? Isn't that why you have kids? We're taking care of a 97-year-old Marine that's her dad. He thinks you say food and somebody brings it, right? That's how it works." She said, "Well, only half of them have to go. The other half can stay home and pay for it and take care of us. But I'm praying, Lord, I'll go anywhere, anytime for your glory. If it's not me, send my kids." It was a great delight that day we stood in the airport and my daughter took my oldest grandson and got on a plane and went to the Middle East to live. It was a great delight when my daughter lived in the Middle East and 10 years speaking, another daughter speaking Arabic fluently. Two of them did that. Only one of the two that stayed home made any money. That's a different story, all right? But anyway. But listen, that's a tough test to put on your heart this morning. So I'm going to ask you to bow your heads right now. Let's start praying about these things we need to do. With your heads bowed, your eyes closed, who would say, okay, Lord, I know the name of a lost person that's in my sphere of influence. They live next to me. They work with me. They're my friend. I pray that they'll know Jesus. Use me as a representative. As your church, use me to help them know and worship Jesus. Lord, I want to know the name of a missionary. I need to learn one that I can pray for. Not just pray for the missionaries who live overseas. I need to know one I can pray for. Lord, I'm willing to do that. I'm willing to learn about a place where the gospel is not and pray about why they need to be reached with a gospel presence. And Lord, I want you to teach me when I see people who are not like us that all of us are worshipers of Christ, and teach me to see people through the lens of the gospel and the glory that Jesus deserves. So Lord, boss, ruler, I'll go anywhere, anytime, for your glory. And if it's not me, it would be a great honor if you'd send my children. If you want to come up here this morning and kneel, just come on up and just kneel and start making that your prayer. Praying about any of these things. Just come. Don't wait till we stand and sing. Just come on now. And just lay down your desire to control your life and cry out to the Lord, the ruler of your life, and tell Him you want to be a part of His big picture of bringing worshipers to Himself. Tell Him that you want Him to raise up missionaries in this church. You want Him to raise up sons and daughters who will go out. And you're praying that we will care about those who need to hear about Christ. Oh Lord, send me. Anywhere, anytime, for your glory. If it's not me, let me be a rope holder. Let me encourage those who go. Let me encourage those who are sent. Let me even send my sons and daughters to go.